Our show a week ago on Martin Luther King Day prompted Andrew Manis of Macon, Georgia, to suggest that greater percentages of African Americans oppose war in part because of the different ways they participate in what he calls the American civil religion. Civil religion, he writes, is the mixing of religion and political ideology, and African Americans, because of their history of racial oppression, are more capable of criticizing American policy. So where whites have largely indulged a priestly civil religion, African Americans, like Martin Luther King, have articulated a prophetic or critical civil religion. Another way of saying this, he adds, is that African Americans are better able to express a critical patriotism. Following our program with activists on both sides of the abortion issue who met in private to establish a civil dialogue, Barb in Minneapolis wrote, "While in high school, a close friend of mine was pro-life and I was pro-choice. We would argue fervently about our stances on this issue. Ironically, we were both faced with unplanned pregnancies in our early 20s. When faced with the actual circumstances, she chose abortion, and I chose to have my child. I guess my point is sometimes we are on one side in theory, but you might be surprised by the outcome depending on the circumstance, and both sides need to remain open." Several of you wrote to take issue with the way guest Joseph Jaffe characterized the departure of UN weapons inspections from Iraq 5 years ago, including Mick Palmert of Lawrence, Kansas. "Please don't let the claim that the arms inspectors were thrown out in 98 to go unchallenged," he wrote. "They were withdrawn by the United Nations so they wouldn't be in harm's way during the bombing by the United States and Britain." And Gil Jamot of Oaks Valley, California, wrote to thank us for our remembrance of Joe Foss, the famous Marine fighter pilot who won the Medal of Honor on Guadalcanal. But he added, "I was disappointed that you missed mentioning one of the organizations he was truly passionate about. Joe was a life member of the NRA for over 40 years and served as a member of the board of directors, the executive council, and as president of the National Rifle Association." Finally, last Thursday's show on luck drew a lot of response. John Whitney wrote to say, "I think a lot of people discount or overlook the idea of perception in luck. For example, I was laid off a few months ago. At first I was shocked and distraught, but over the next few weeks I came to realize how lucky I was. Lucky in that I was suddenly offered the chance to drop an unfulfilling, though high-paying, career and begin to pursue a lifelong dream as a photographer. Though the next few years will undoubtedly be difficult financially, at least I won't someday end up on my deathbed wishing that I'd made the time to pursue my dreams. How lucky is that?" Maybe not quite as lucky as Karen Herman of Sanibel Island, Florida, who says she's won just about every contest she's ever entered, starting at the age of 5, when she won a set of encyclopedias and a Captain Jolly wardrobe from a local television show. Then, at age 6, the Letters from a Santa contest at a local radio station, then a bicycle at 7, on and on. Just last month, she wrote, "I won the grand opening drawing at our local Hessmart," and she concludes, "Your guest is correct. I don't believe in luck. I believe in science and probabilities, and I have no idea as to why I win everything." Well, she may want to talk with Miguel Sarmiento, who emailed us a litany of his misfortunes. Someone broke into his car, which then broke down. He got laid off. His wife asked him for a divorce. And finally, he fell getting out of his car and broke a rib. Like the song says, "If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all." Well, Miguel, maybe summoning the spirit of the great Albert King will turn it all around for you. If you have any corrections, observations, criticism, or praise to send along, the best way to reach us is by email. The address, totn@npr.org. Please include your name and where you're from, and it helps if you put the topic you're writing about in the subject line. Talk of the Nation is produced by C.C. Matapé-Fatapé, Justine Kennan, Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, and Evie Stone. Our director is Rolando Arrieta. Our production assistant is Brendan Banizak, and our interns are T.K. Dalton and Daniel Remen. Our thanks to Marcus Rosenbaum and John Buckley for their production help. Kevin Waite is our technical director, and he got a lot of help, mostly from Vince Muse, whether he wanted it or not. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is the senior producer of Talk of the Nation. The executive producer is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan. NPR News.